really blessed in looking. I looked at the psalm briefly this week. I thought it would be one that might be kind of an encouragement for people just because it's not one that we spend any time on. But, you know, as I look at these hymns that we were singing, and just a sample, over the last, looks like about 45 minutes, His robes for mine, ancient words, blessed assurance, holy, 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 how great thou art, O the love of my Redeemer. You know, those words regarding the love of our Redeemer are the absolute bedrock of all we believe in. And you know, the glory of God certainly is due from our lips in our lives each and every day in everything we do. And I was struck as I was reading Psalm 29 this week, and if you have a Bible and you'd like to look at that, I'm just going to spend a few minutes on this tonight. But in the end, I think we should all remember why we can give God glory. This is a psalm of praise. It's one of many within the Scripture. And as we read through and as we studied Psalms 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was during the summer, we looked at all the different kinds of psalms. This is an interesting psalm in that it's surrounded by rejoicing in answered prayer and the blessedness of answered prayer. So answered prayer is the theme in Psalms 28 and 30. But this particular psalm, in my Bible anyway, is headed up praise to God and His holiness and His majesty. His holiness and majesty. Two of the really significant attributes of our God. So let's just ask the Lord's blessing on this brief time, and then I'm going to read this psalm and we can talk about it for a minute. Father, thank you for this evening. I ask you to bless this time now that we have in Psalm 29 and use this time for your glory, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a psalm, very brief, 11 verses. And I'd just like to have you listen if you don't have a Bible. I'd like to just read through this. This is New King James. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like the wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in His temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as King forever. The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. With peace. What is the subject of this psalm? As you look at this psalm, what is the subject? Well, certainly the Lord. We see the Jehovah God mentioned. It's noticed Lord is all caps. 17 times in 11 verses. A very prominent exposition who gets the glory. It's actually in every verse but verse 6. We see God mentioned in verse 1 and 3. If I had read the introduction part again, to praise to God in His holiness, a psalm of David. And what is his subject? There's two really key words. Did you catch them? Glory. The glory of God. Four times. Verses 1, 2, 3, and 9. And the voice of God. the voice of God. Seven times we see that. This morning as we were praying, the pastor reminded us that we talk to God in prayer, but God speaks to us through his word. How significant that we would have his word, study his word, know his word. Those verses with voice are 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9. Now, I bet there's some homeschoolers here that say, I don't think you can count very good. Well, there's actually 2 in verse 4. So, and what are the attributes of God? Do you see attributes here in this psalm? I always like to look for attributes because I think, you know, attributes of God are how we get to know our God better. Omnipotence in verse 1 may be a little bit of a stretch, but certainly glory, we see that. We certainly, though, see omnipotence in verses 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, and 11. Constantly, that voice of God, his word will determine. We see his holiness in verse 2, his sovereignty in verse 3, his majesty in verse 4. We see him as the creator in verse 9. His justice in verse 10, his eternality in verse 10, his peace in verse 11. And there's probably more. But the point is God is a many-faceted God. The attributes of God are overwhelming. We can spend our life studying who God is. And as Pastor said this morning, probably the rest of eternity. What does God rule over? Well, we see in verse 3, the waters, many waters. I wondered if that might be a reference back to creation. In verse 5, the physical land and water of his creation. Verse 6, the animals. Verse 7, the elements of his creation. Verse 8, the control of his creation. Verse 9, the birth in his creation, whether it be animals or people. In verse 9, the response of his people is properly glory. Glory. Glory to God. Verse 10, the Lord is just, and he is eternally sovereign. And verse 11, he rules over all his people. Is there anything of his creation that God does not rule over, that should not give him glory? Well, obviously the answer is no. Whether we might look at something and think it's good or bad from our time frame, it's always something we need to praise God for. In Genesis 1, he created everything. In Genesis 6 and 7, he judged his creation. God is sovereign over every single day he gives us, we read in Psalm 139. Is there any part of his creation that he is not sovereign over? Can he be sovereign if he is not sovereign over everything? Good, evil, at least is the way we see it, he is sovereign over all. He's always faithful to his word. In Genesis 2, 16 and 17, he told Adam not to eat of the fruit of the tree, or he would be judged. He would die. Of course, there was no death yet, so he didn't know exactly what God was saying. But he had to assume that God's goodness was such that God was warning him or testing him so that he would be obedient. Of course, he was not obedient. And because of his sin, all men will die. We have all received that same judgment from God. Adam's sins brought not only death physically, but eternal spiritual judgment for sin. Everyone is born condemned. Everyone is properly to be judged by our great God. There's no way out. Sin must be paid for. What do we do? Where do we go? Can we give God glory for that? But in Ben Brooks style, but wait. There is a solution. And what is that solution? It is our great God who sent the substitute. That substitute to provide the payment for sin for his people, that his people receive forgiveness and righteousness which they do not deserve. That first hymn we sang that Dennis asked for, his robes for mine, I love 2 Corinthians 5:21. Is there a more powerful verse than the fact that we are reminded he has done it all? And therefore, Psalm 29, verse 11, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Did they earn it? What did they do to obtain that? It's the gift of God. It's the mercy of God. It's the grace of God. It's the love of God. It is his amazing person, his character. There's no other way of strength. There's no other way of peace. It's only our God. Only the Lord graciously blesses his people with peace. He alone is peace. He alone gives peace. That peace is an eternal gift. An eternal gift, the eternal gift of God by Christ's completed work. There's no message of salvation in this psalm, but it's there. He is the provider of all. And therefore, it is finished. There's no work that's left to be done to obtain God's glory and to worship him. As we see in Psalm 29:2 and also Ephesians 2:10, give or ascribe unto the Lord the glory due to his name and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship him in all things. As we know our God better, we worship him. We worship him and give him the glory. For he is the creator, the redeemer, the sustainer, the salvation of our souls. So we worship him. We worship him this day. I love these times we can come together and just sing praises to God. And this is one of those times. So we're thankful. We worship him with all praise and glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening, this time when we can join together to look into your word briefly, but Lord, to come before your throne and give you praises. May you be in the center of the rest of this evening for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name.
How amazing it is that the Lord brings his sovereign power and his glory to bear on the blessing of his people. Some of you children may remember this song. We worked on it when we were talking about Jonah in the VBS on Jonah. Went through it a couple of times and sang it, I think, once afterwards. So might take a little bit of work to recall it. So we'll sing through this one together. And then, Pastor, if you would come up and bless the food and ask a blessing on our time of fellowship together, then we'll close a cappella with the doxology.